Chapter 6. From the author note. You gotta have some aftercare and feelings. Real talk, my dudes. This chapter contains mention of past domestic violence, not graphic, and of alcoholism. If you are at all bothered by either of these topics, please take care of yourself and skip this chapter. There are no naughty bits in it anyway. It was barely 8 o'clock, far too early to go to sleep, and besides, Eddie was banking on a quick rally from Miranda and another go-round before bed. "I'm starving," she announced. Miranda propped her head on one hand and watched Andy bounce up. "I can order something." "What are the chances the twins will come home? Do I need to cover up? Or hide?" "Slim to none," Miranda said. "Caroline has an exhibition next weekend. I haven't a clue what Cassidy's doing, but it apparently involves spending the night at the lab."
"Do they live together?"
Andy bent to peer at two framed photos on Miranda's vanity. Black and white images, one of each twin. High school senior photos as shot by Annie Leibovitz. Miranda rolled her eyes. "No," she said, though not for lack of trying. "They insisted they needed their own space. Tish isn't close to Columbia in any case. I thought you said you were hungry."
"Yeah, I can just have some popcorn or something."
Miranda looked at her as though she just proposed a brief dive into the nearest dumpster. "Please," she said, aggrieved. She reached for her phone.
"Pizza?"
Andy suggested brightly. Miranda didn't even acknowledge that. Roy ended up retrieving Lautusi. Miranda roundly rejected Andy's plan to eat gnocchi in bed, so they ended up at the kitchen counter in bathrobes.
"This is too hot," Andy said, shrugging out of the sleeves.
Miranda gave her a long, long look, then speared a slice of sun-dried tomato and held it to Andy's lips. Andy ate it and grinned. "Naked at Miranda Priestley's kitchen table," she said. "Who needs a car?" Andy was way too full of pasta for more sex. They did it anyway. "Tell me about that boyfriend," Miranda said, out of nowhere. Andy started. She'd been lying with her head on Miranda's shoulder, one arm draped across Miranda's stomach, so comfortable that she had almost drifted off to sleep. Clearly, Miranda had not.
Andy said. "What do you want to know?"
She'd been asked before. Mostly it was a pretext, a way to ask, "When did you know?" and "How did it start?" She hadn't expected it from Miranda.
"When did you end it with him?"
Miranda was looking straight up at the ceiling. Her arm was around Andy's shoulder, her fingertips slightly stroking Andy's temple.
"About a year after we moved to Boston," Andy said.
"Did you leave him for someone else?" Still stroking, and Miranda's voice was even, calm, as though she was asking Andy whether she'd enjoyed the gnocchi.
"No."
Andy moved her hand, pressing her palm to Miranda's sternum and splaying her fingers.
"There was a girl. I never even talked to her, but I realized I didn't want him."
"You found someone in Ohio?" "Not a question." "Caitlin, red-haired and brilliant."
"Yes."
Miranda's fingers stopped their movement for a moment, then resumed. "Was she good to you?"
"Sometimes."
Andy was starting to feel, not sleepy exactly, but a little disassociated. Miranda's voice was as calm as a hypnotist's, each question asked at exactly the same cadence as the last. She felt Miranda tense at her answer.
"Sometimes."
A little lift in her tone now, a tightness.
"It was a long time ago."
The disassociated feeling evaporated. Andy felt a knot of anxiety start to coil in her stomach.
Silence. Then, "Will you tell me?"
Asking permission this time, rather than the expectancy of a question that must be answered. She found herself unable, or maybe unwilling, to refuse.
It was nice at first, she said. And it had been. She was young and newly free, just discovering things about herself. A fresh start, when 6 months prior she'd been so sure of her future. Caitlin had walked right up to Andy at a work dinner, grabbed Andy's hand, scrawled her number on it, and turned around without saying a word. She'd moved into Andy's apartment after 8 weeks. Passionate, driven, beautiful. Also, possessive, jealous, insecure. It hadn't lasted a year. She drank a lot, Andy said at last. It was easier to blame the fighting on Caitlin's drinking. Miranda's hand had stopped moving. Andy could barely feel the movement of her breath. Did she hurt you? She said. Her tone was perfectly level, almost cool. Andy hesitated. No. She had, in fact, slapped Andy across the face when Andy had asked her to move out, then hurled her martini glass on the floor at Andy's feet. Andy still had a scar on her thumb from cleaning up the shards. Miranda was still for a few seconds. Then, I think that must be a lie. I don't. Andy still couldn't stand the smell of apple schnapps. I don't want to talk about this right now, Miranda. Sharper than she'd intended. She flinched, expecting Miranda to shut down and pull away. Instead, Miranda rolled onto her side, tipped her forehead against Andy's, and closed her eyes. She brought one hand up to Andy's face, thumb on Andy's cheekbone, fingertips pressed lightly to her jaw. And she just sort of stayed like that, her skin warm against Andy's, her breath puffing lightly over Andy's lips. I should not have assumed, she said quietly after a moment, opening her eyes, that you would want wine. It's fine. Andy pulled back enough that she didn't have to look at Miranda cross-eyed. Like I said, it was a long time ago. Stephen is an alcoholic, Miranda said. The shock of it made Andy go rigid. Her hand on Miranda's waist clamped tight almost of its own accord. She opened her mouth, but nothing came out. Miranda was still talking. He was not violent, she said. He never laid a hand on me, nor the girls. But he was a very angry man. Her voice was gentle, her gaze never moving from Andy's. Her hand slipped into Andy's hair. There are things we don't wish to see, she said. Caitlin shoving Andy out of the way as she stormed down the hall at 2 a.m. The hollow thud of Andy's shoulder against the hall closet door. I know, Andy said. You will see of me, Miranda said softly. Anything you wish, anything you ask, I will give. The knot in Andy's stomach had climbed into her throat. I can't, she swallowed hard. I can't make you that promise. Miranda didn't so much as blink. Would it shock you so much to know that I do not require the same from you to be? She paused, brushed her thumb over Andy's forehead. Happy? Fulfilled? Andy's heart did a little somersault in her chest. There had always been expectations of her. The promise of reciprocity, of holding up her hand of the bargain. The threat of departure should she falter. A little, she admitted. Miranda looked thoughtful. Am I known to be cryptic? Cryptic? Andy repeated. Vague, Miranda clarified. At that, Andy let out a little bleat of laughter. You? No. Miranda didn't laugh with her, just kept her steady gaze on Andy's. Then let me say, in no uncertain terms, that no recompense from you is expected. Material? She touched the earring at Andy's left ear. Or otherwise. Andy's pulse picked up. What if I want to? Reciprocate, I mean. Miranda leaned forward and pressed her lips lightly against Andy's. She smiled a little. I didn't say that it wouldn't be welcome. Miranda slept. Andy was pressed against her back, a marvel of warm bare skin against her entire body. Silver curls tickling Andy's lips and brushing the tip of her nose, the slow, steady rhythm of her breath. Material, she'd said, or otherwise. I hope you'll stay. Andy tightened her arm around Miranda's waist, pressed her forehead to Miranda's lovely shoulder, and closed her eyes and tried to sleep. End of chapter 6.